I remember one Christmas we all gathered down to Folks' place.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a long heater we put in, well, I think it was 52 inches long. And there was one neighbor named Carlson was over, and Bill Logan was another good big Irishman in the basketball. And we had them here,
the moonshine?
No.
Everybody did, I thought.
Well, they had moonshine too, but I think this particular time must have had some better stuff probably. Anyway, this Carlson was one of these guys that couldn't see anything left in the bottle.
Oh, yes.
He had to have every bit. And then he was getting pretty wobbly, and I don't know, Mr. Hackley, I think Bill Logan and him got kind of arguing about it. So I says to Carlson, oh, put Bill in the store, in the heater. Now, Bill could take Carlson round his arm. I had a picture of that Christmas party, too.
Well, he didn't try to put him in the heater, though.
He'd better not. Put Carlson out.
Were there any other ranchers in here then that came in after Burns? I'm supposed to find out what I can about the livestock.
Yeah.
Well, I have your story now, behind us, the black cattle. Mrs. Edwards, she just had a mixed lot, didn't
mixed
she?
Lot.
And the man, oh, you named him a minute ago, that ranched with her.
Oh, it was just,
yes.
Well, they were together on them cattle.
They were just a mixed lot.
Mixed lot, yeah. Let me see. Well, where our cattle originated from us, there was a fellow and a couple of brothers brought in a bunch of black cattle. They were across the piece.
Oh, weren't they?
North side. And they had some of the same breed of cattle, as a matter of fact.
Would that be Thompson and
no.
And that group, or earlier than that?
It was earlier. Oh, I should know their names too. But they had some of the finest black cattle I've ever seen. And that was reddish stuff too.
Was? There was a short intermission, and then we resumed the conversation.
And I took them back.
Saying Fred Hasler was a...
He used to be a fur buyer up here, and, but however, I had some hunters out in the fall, and I took them back to Dawson on the sleigh. This was in October, the first October ever since,
mm-hmm.
And cold, and I took them out with the sleigh, and went down to Dawson there, and reached back at the hotel, and away, I got to fighting the night, couldn't sleep close together because one would snore and the other one was an older fellow. Well, he was a diplomat, as a matter of fact, he had interest in the National Bank in New York. And the other one was Francis Hennessy, nephew Hennessy. This Hennessy, he'd snore. And take your boot, you know, and throw over across that. However, we took them out and they went back to Edmonton. And they wrote that piece in the Edmonton paper that they had shot a caribou, I don't know. I guess it wasn't more than a mile away.
Were there caribou here in the early days?
Caribou?
Yeah.
Lots of them.
And elk?
Well, yeah, years ago there was elk here, and they're starting to come back now. But the wolves killed them out here, and they had moved over south to the Wapiti.
Yeah.
And now they're coming back in here. But I could see probably three or four bunches of caribou off the top of one hill, and there'd be 30 or 40 in a bunch. However, I took those hunters out. in the slate. They come out of the mountain and they cross the river here with the pack outfit. I had one of these hunting axes. I just hit the ice three or four times as we went across the river with the whole pack on. And this was in October. Sure, the first part of October. Took them out with a sleigh, like I say, and stayed around Boston for about a week.
And we're coming back with the light fleet.
And Fred Haas with the fur buyer decided to come back with me. And, when we went out, we went overland. We had the bush trail cut.
From Dawson to the Pine?
No, from here to the Pine.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, there's so much snow hanging on the trees and one thing and another, that was quite a job. So we decided to come to the river. Fred Hassler was an old river man, and I don't know, everybody was telling us that we couldn't come off the river because it had never been traveled till after Christmas. But we figured, no, we didn't want to go over that bush trail. So we takes off up the river, and we was careful through the canyon, you know, testing, and seemed pretty good. So we stopped in the upper end of the canyon for dinner. And on a little bench, on the side of the river. And after dinner, a friend says, it looks pretty good up there. I don't think you need to test for a while. It was already through the main canyon and all this good stuff. Yeah, I had decided then that it was, looked all right. So we went about 10 rods. And he started to break in with his cutter in the light team. He was next to shore. And I stopped there and talked it over, come to the conclusion it was just a springy there next to shore. It was open on the far side, you know, half of it was open. So, of course, I had to stop too, and he stopped and talked it over. He started off, and when I went to start, the horses had a pull, you know, in I went. Must have been 10 feet of water. So I hollered, I got the head stopped, and I got the horses, but I jumped off and got the horses by the halters and held them up. Well, they couldn't cut out to shore because we found that the ice was a couple of feet thick, or foot anyway, to shore. So I figured I'd hook his team on and pull him out. One at a time, my horses, and put a chain on the neck. I got the tugs cut off around it. Pulled them out, it was about 20 below. We got the horses out and got the load. Well, it was a light load, the box didn't sink. It stayed on top.
You must have had it tied on so it wouldn't float either.
No, the box on the right side of it was light stuff in there. Anyway, we got the stuff all out, pulled out the box, and then we got the sleigh out, and the pool, facing the current, the pool stood up.
Yeah.
By laying down, I could get the log chain hooked in the eye of the pool by reaching down the full length of my arm. And we got the sleigh pulled out. Then there was nothing to do. It was a good roll of timber and spruce there. We had to build a fire, and it was so cold. And we had to build two fires, the horses in between the two fires. Fred, he had quite a bit of money with him. He hadn't got that wet. We had to sort that out and dry it. He was coming up to buy a shirt. I guess he had a couple of bottles of rum. So he put in the night pretty good.
You kept yourself warm.
Oh yeah. Well, you see the sleeping bags was on top of my load. And they didn't get wet. We had these real Arctic eider down bags too. But we had to keep fire just the same. All night for the horse.
Right,
yeah, and
No, sir. We found there was different places after that. We'd already come up so far, we couldn't go back again. Yeah. Had to come too. And we were only about halfway up the middle fork. Mm. Well, there's different places there. We just had to take it on a run for to get across. The ice would just way down. You know. Well, we got up there. I think we stayed a few days down there. Middle point until it froze over.
That'd be a treadmill.
Yeah, that's what treadmill was at that time.
Uh-huh.
And Fred Hassler was more or less in company with treadmill too. As a matter of fact, they had a little bit of a store down there.
Oh.
And there was nothing on the 2 bits. Well, 2 bits is nothing now, but in them days, there was 2 bits was quite a bit.
Yeah.
You buy a darning needle or a spool of thread, that was nothing less than 2 bits.
Oh, I never heard that before.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that's
golly.
The only thing, nothing less. Well, you bring that stuff up with the boat or pack horses, but...
It was worth it.
You had to pay. I had to get something on it. Anyway, finally got on through up to the upper canyon about middle pine there, and got up as far as Bissett Flat. Then I got off of the river. I could come on home then over land. I get back on the road at Bissett Flat. But that was one trip I wouldn't be care to do again.
That's a good yarn.
Nothing like children.
That was a bad enough adventure for any man.
Well, it's the earliest anybody ever drove up the river.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever drove up the river till after Christmas.
And I bet they didn't again.
Yeah. No, nobody. I've done it again.
So you said a record.
And I wouldn't do it again.
Well, what's this story about Treadwell? He says the name is Treadwell. Treadwell's supposed to have met a bear somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a pretty big bear. And he had bent his gun, Treadwell. And he didn't know where it was going to fire quite. So the story goes that he waited until the bear got within reach of him, and then he poked the gun in the bear's mouth and shot and killed the bear. Do you know anything about that, or was that just a story?
Well, I know something about it. I know the answers, but there's quite a little difference in what you heard. You know, Frank Treadwell, his headquarters was down there at the forks of the river. Yeah. And he trapped way up the river, some 40, 50 miles or so. And I guess it was in the fall, he went up on the line, and I guess he was taking a box of ammunition. So he went into a bunch of wolf up there. He shot all his ammunition except one shot. You think he'd probably need that to come back home. Sure, he come down somewhere around where those falls are. And here was a bear in the road. And he got pretty close to the bear before he ever noticed it. I guess within 10, 15 feet. Now, so now, apparently he stopped and talked to the bear. And he was trying to figure out how he... Well, there was another bear there, too, that had been laying down. He got up. Oh, you wonder how in the heck was he going to kill the two bears with one shot? Well, they were both standing up. And then, he figured, no, better not try and kill the two of them with one shot. So he figured he'd run a bluff on them. He makes a few steps ahead, you know, and makes his... Oh, it didn't work with the darn, the bear come up a little closer to him. Didn't pay. My gosh, he didn't know what in the heck to do. And there was a sort of a slide down to the river for 20 or 30 feet. And now he figured if he could back up so he could throw himself over that there slide, he could get away from him. Sure, he was backing up and the bear just stood there and looked at him. Wondering how on heck he'd never seen nobody back up that way before. That was a new one on him. He got himself thrown over the bank and got down across the river.
Uh-huh.
That's the way that happened.
That was the true bear story.
That's the true bear story, as far as I know. I guess it was true, too.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, I don't doubt it a bit.
Yeah. He must have been able to use his head.
Well, when a feller is in the bush most of his life,
he's got to learn to use his head.
Yeah, that's
because if you don't, you're likely to get in trouble.
Well, it's pretty sad, though, the way he got himself frozen there in his cabin.
Yeah, I see.
Right?
His feet froze, you know, he didn't have no tools. He used to have a...
It was a Logan that found him, wasn't it? Eric Logan? Or was that another story? Somebody found him and brought him on a sleigh, brought him on a toboggan down to his cabin. He was a long way from his cabin. He was out in one of his trapper's cabins, and he had his dogs in with him. This is the way I heard the story. And then he broke into the cabin, and then he took the old man to the river, and then dragged him to East Pine. And then they were able to get help at East Pine to take him to Dawson Creek.
I don't know.
And then he got blood poisoning in his feet, and he died.
That was long before Logan's was here.
Is that right? Well, when did Treadwell die?
He died in the hospital in...
Poos.
In Poos, or was it Dawson?
Poos, I heard.
I said Poos?
That's what I heard.
Maybe it was. In a way, he was not going to go to the hospital, and he was not going to take old man's pension and all this and that. And he worked together. Was road work. I was telling you about the road work for to make a few dollars, and the way Frank worked for us. And we finally got him talked into taking old man's pension, and that he was not going to go to no hospital or anything. He was going to use a bullet on himself. Mm-hmm. But before he got all said and done, he decided he'd go to hospital too.
Uh-huh.
And there was nobody took him out. I thought they ordered somebody.
I won't say that it was Logan that told that story, but we had it, Lee Phillips got the story from somebody that they went into the cabin and that he had no firewood or anything, that he was so sick, and then they took him out. Well, how'd he get out the time he froze his feet then?
Oh, he had his feet froze a long time, even before I come into the country.
What'd he die of then?
Old age more so than anything else.
And not frozen feet?
Oh, yes, he had frozen feet. He got them froze from being wet on the trap line, I guess. And he didn't have no toes. And still and all, he could climb up the mountains. I was just a young lad at that time. He could climb up there faster than I could.
Mm-hmm.
And shoot the moose offhand. He was an awful good shot, too. I was better going to the sports one time and shot a moose. Up and shot, that's all. It was crack shot.
Uh-huh.
He get blood poisoned and frozen feet on the trap line, and what he used was baking soda. The best that there is for blood poison, as far as that goes, I've used it too.
Mm.
You get any poison infection or something, put baking soda on, and hot water on top. It's as hot as you can put it on. And take that swelling down overnight and probably take all the coloring out, too. And that's what
you cook up.
Treadwell done different times with his frozen feet.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll have to check one story against the other story, then, because I got it one way. And
But I worked with Frank Treadwell. I know what took place. And
well, his last illness, then.
Hmm?
Well, and when he was taken in to Pooscoopy then, finally, what was his trouble then? So you say just old age?
Just old age. Sure, he cashed away. Yeah, he might have been in the hospital a week or so, I don't know. Something like that, maybe. And I was wondering, was it Pooscoopy Hospital that he went into, or was it Dawson Creek Hospital?
Well, there was no Dawson Creek until 1930-what?
Two or 33?
Yeah.
Sometime in there. There's nothing but Poos. However, I can check that out.
Yeah, it must have been in Poos.
Yeah. Because all the old records from Poos are gone. They were lost when they moved the hospital. That seems to be such a pity. Well, I think I've tired you out.
Well.
To telling stories. I know you've got some more.
Oh, yeah, I could sit here all night as far as that goes and tell stories, but I don't know. I've been up in the mountains picking berries today and one thing and another, and I think it's about time to call it a day.
Yeah.
Mr. Johnson told us that he was going to can his berries the next day. He didn't care for them frozen. He canned them in syrup in the old way. That's a... He also told us of the passing of another almost legendary old-timer whose name is perpetuated in Hasler Creek. One time, Fred Hasler was coming out with several bundles of furs hung from the saddle and over his back, dangling on both sides, and the horse was restive. And when Johnson approached with a team on the trail, Hasler tried to pull his mount to one side. The horse shied. Hasler was not a good horseman. When he struck his mount sharply, the animal plunged towards the bush. One rein broke. No longer under control, the horse continued his bolt, becoming more frightened as the bundles caught on the trees and bumped him on the sides. In an attempt to get another rein, Hasler leaned over far to one side, trying to untie the halter shank. Being in no position to watch his surroundings, Hasler did not see the end of a tree trunk and crashed into it, inflicting a fatal head injury.